Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We've been talking an awful lot about COVID, of course, throughout the course of this year. But, you know, we're moving into flu season right now, and we got to I think we need to think a little bit about what the double whammy impact could be and how do we protect ourselves and what
there's
does it
a
mean?
Lot of similar symptoms in the flu that there is for COVID.
That's right.
And I think this year the flu shot is probably more important than ever before.
And more people are talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if more people will get it, but the fact of the matter is it is more relevant and timely in terms of the conversation.
And then I'm also hearing that it's not worth doing it at all.
Right.
So let's figure this out. Let's figure this out.
All right. We've invited Dr. James Dickinson, who is he's an MD, professor at the Cumming School of Medicine, and part of the flu surveillance effort in our province. Dr. Dickinson, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're desperate to get your input here. So you heard our little tease coming in here. I think there is some confusion around whether or not the flu this year is going to be better or worse than it has been in the past, and what does COVID do to this? But maybe just start with what are you guiding us? What effect do you have, or what can we expect from the flu this year?
Well, I think confusion is probably the right answer.
Yeah.
At the moment, we really don't know what to expect because, yes, it's likely that we're going to get some degree of flu, but with all the things we're doing to protect ourselves from COVID, that will also protect us from the flu.
Right.
So that is likely we're going to get less flu than usual. But influenza is fickle. From year to year, it varies so widely that we never quite know, and it can always surprise us. Because after all, it's not just one flu season. Every year we get three epidemics of different sorts of flu. And so that's why we have an injection that has three different components. And in any given year, each different component will work differently against its own particular target. So it's the usual problem that we have every year with the flu. We simply don't know what we're going to face, and the effectiveness of our methods varies widely.
So what is your opinion, or the medical community's opinion, of the flu shot? Because there's lots of confusion around it. Should you get it? Should you not get it? What are the risks in taking it versus not taking it?
There's very little risk in taking it. A flu shot is designed to be really very benign. And yes, the worst you can get is a sore arm in general. It's really very little risk, and there is moderate benefit. And that benefit varies, as I said, between year to year and which strain of flu it's working on. But the advantage is that it decreases, the chance of getting it, and if you get it, it does appear to reduce the risk of getting a severe attack that will put you into hospital or worse.
Yeah, I think that's try to get the extreme, you know, avoid the extreme outcome of it, right?
And do we have enough supply to hit the population here in Alberta?
This year we have more supply than usual, so we should be able to have plenty of supply for those who want it. I mean, part of the difficulty is predicting how many people will want it. Every year public health tries to make a prediction, and they get it roughly right, but we just have to wait and see who's demanding which things.
Your advice as as part of, I guess, the surveillance effort, and as a doctor, your advice to our listeners with respect to the flu shot, and particularly those that are older and, of course, more susceptible, not just to the flu, but, you know, COVID as well.
Yeah, well, the combination of COVID plus flu could be very nasty.
Yes.
So we should avoid that. We do have something that will reduce flu severity and the chance of getting it, so it's worthwhile getting that shot.
We'll leave it at that, Dr. Dickinson. Thank you very much for a refresher on what the flu shot is, should we have it, and it's available now, so people can go ahead and take advantage of that. Thank you for your time today.
That's right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We've been joined by Dr. James Dickinson, MD, professor at the Cummings School of Medicine. He's also part of the flu surveillance effort in our province. So let's just hope, Faisal, that it's a mild flu season.
Exactly.
In part because of all the precautions we're taking with respect to COVID.
This whole thing talks about why we have these four buckets in our in our process for retirement. Healthcare is a asset class.
Yep.
You need to have money dedicated to that for some things that could happen in the future, potentially.
Yes.
But it also talks about three other buckets.
Well, can I back it up just a little bit?
Sure.
Because you think about the theme of this show and the questions being asked, it's all around uncertainty. And we talked about there's multiple levers in different areas. So how do you plan for that? Well, what you have to first of all do, in our opinion, right, is you have to first of all realize, particularly as you're transitioning to or living in retirement, that you have multiple goals that you're trying to satisfy.
Yeah.
Right? And it's inconsistent to think that to satisfy an income need where you want predictability and sustainability and low volatility, that you can get, you can maximize growth with that same strategy. So that single, the idea of a single bucket of wealth makes no sense as you're moving into retirement.
It increases the probability of failure.
Right. Right. And so asset dedication, boy, we've been banging on this table for a long time. And we're passionately, you know, trying to educate people about the fact you need to evolve your the way you manage your wealth, including health, because we think health is part of your overall wealth profile. It's certainly part of your lifestyle as you age. You've got to manage these things differently. They all have different objectives.
Correct.
And you need to take different approaches with these
Correct.
Things. Right? And that's the genesis. That's the reason that 11 years ago, 12 years ago now, we were building out this idea of the four buckets. Help people start, what do we say? Like just ripping apart the assets that they've accumulated throughout their life.
Yeah.
And then, so deconstruct that and then reconstruct it in a way that supports this next phase of the journey, the one we call retirement.
And what people don't realize is that the impacts of not having an asset dedication approach does not get realized until you're 10, 12, 15 years into retirement.
I'd like you to speak very, very briefly, because we're running out of time, about a conversation you had this week with a person that's a do-it-yourselfer.
Yeah.
And has done very well over the last 3 years from an investment
perspective.
He's
done very well over the last 3 years, made lots of money in the portfolio that he's been managing himself. And he goes to me, he goes, Faisal, I don't need your money management skills. Yeah. I can do this all by myself. I said, great. So then why are you here? Was the first question. His wife dragged him in to talk to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, I can just make money in the market to cover my needs. And I'll give you an easy example. He needed to make about a 7% rate of return.
Right.
Okay, so if I just make 7% every single year, Faisal, that's all I have to do. I've been doing that for the last 3 years. And I go, if you could make 7% every single year without failure, I would suggest you call Warren Buffett, because you'll kick his butt in performance.
Right.
You'll kick his butt in performance if you can do it every single year. And how did your portfolio go during the COVID crisis and the crash that happened? Oh, I was down 20%. Did you need money from your portfolio? No. So it recovered and you made more profit? Yes. What if you needed money during that month? That 2 months that you were down 20%.
Right.
Then what do you do?
Right.
And he looked at me and goes, I don't know.
Right. That to me was such an interesting conversation.
What a change in objective. He just realized that he went from, I don't need this money so I can let it grow.
Right.
So now I need this money. I better look at this differently.
Right.
And I said to him, I don't care if you invest with me or not. It doesn't matter. But if you don't have an asset dedication, a four bucket approach to your portfolio.
Right.
Get ready for the problems that you're going to face the next time we have a 20% drop.
Exactly. And it doesn't recover in 2 or 3 or 4 months.
Correct.
That's the problem, right? Okay. I think we've gone on long enough about that. But what we have to do is continue the education around these four buckets.
Absolutely.
Okay. And we're going to do that at our next webinar.
Yeah. Webinar is going to be on Tuesday, November 17th, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay. I want to thank you for tuning in for another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. And we look forward to speaking with you next week, 1 week closer to the U.S. election. And we'll update you then.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodcundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodcundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodcundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.